For the record, this is the GAC meeting with the Brand Registry Group. 1600 on Sunday.
Good afternoon, everyone. If we could begin to take our seats, please. Yeah. Okay. Let's get started. I can hear an alarm going off in that corner of the room. So if any of you are able to take the initiative and find the alarm and switch it off, I would be very grateful. Yay! Well done. Okay. Excellent. Okay, so we are reconvening in the GAC to meet with a new registry group called the Brand Registry Group. And we've identified some topics of what we believe is mutual interest, which are industry oversight and compliance by ICANN. This is certainly something that the GAC pays a lot of attention to. And also the changes that would result as a result of the creation of new brand top-level domain operators and how that would impact the generic name supporting organization. So I will hand over, first of all, to Philip Shepherd, who will take us through the presentation you can see in front of you on the screen. And then after we have a presentation, then there will be an opportunity for some questions and some discussion. So I will turn over to you, Philip. Thank you.
Heather, thank you very much indeed. And as you heard, my name is Philip Shepherd, and I am essentially the coordinator for this group called the Brand Registry Group. Now, the eagle-eyed amongst you may just be able to work out on the top right-hand logo of the Brand Registry Group up there, the two words, information. And that is not one word, information, but two, information, because we are a group that is in the process of coalescence. We're in the process of coming together. And that's why at this meeting in Beijing, we wanted to take the opportunity to explain to you why it is we are doing so, where the common interest lies, and where the relevance is for yourselves. So if you move on to the next slide, you'll see I'm just going to take you through some explanatory matters to do with the Brand Registry Group, the BRG. Talk a little bit about the vision and mission that we've already adopted. Then try to draw out some of the elements which makes us different to other registries, hence the reason we're coming together. Talking a little bit about the structure that we will be and the nature of our dialogue with ICANN. And then on section five, I'm going to hand over to my colleague to talk a little bit about some of the issues of relevance to the GAC. And after that, we hope there'll be plenty of time for a liberal question and answer session with you. Thank you. So moving on to the next slide about the Brand Registry Group. If you go through the process of looking at all the applications so far, about one-third of all TLD applications have been submitted by brand owners. And they've been submitted by brand owners for a string that matches their brand or one of their products or one of their services. So essentially, that one-third of all applicants in this current round is our potential membership for this group. And we've identified within that a common vision. That all these registries have unique plans to run registries themselves in furtherance of a business purpose beyond offering registry services to the general public. And this is the key difference between us and, if you like, the former TLD world, where typically those TLDs, as you know, were very much there to offer domains at the second level and indeed sometimes below. So moving on to the next slide. This is a slightly wordy slide, which is the current definition that we have come up with to try to be rather more precise about who we are and therefore the nature of the registries that we'll be looking at joining the organization. So registry operators who are the owners of an organizational brand that forms are applied for TLD, whose TLD represents an identical and pre-existing trademark, whose TLD is in furtherance of their pre-TLD operations business interests. And again, that is a very significant point because the majority of these applicants have business interests that go way beyond this. This is merely an adjunct to what they're currently doing. In other words, their main business area is outside of the domain name industry. And their TLD is typically going to be single entity, single user. So you do not intend at this time to sell second-level domain names to the general public. So all those definitions are cumulative in terms of defining who we are. And on the next slide, you'll see a very short statement of currently who we're not. And the brand registry group at the moment is currently excluding registries that are single registrant, single user generics. Now, if you look at the nature of some of the applicants, you will see that some of the same companies, of course, have applied for brand TLDs and also for generics. But the common interest of us as a group will only be for that aspect of their business operation that represents the single user brand and not the generic. And moving on to section two, we can talk a little bit about our vision and mission. And after a little bit of internal debate, we tried to tease out really the one element that binds us all together, and I think that makes us different to some of the registries of the past, and also helps to perhaps underline some of the things that you're concerned with, in particular the public interest aspects of your work. And our vision is to create internet environments built on trust. And we think that trust is a single word that is binding us all together. And we've teased out the vision a little bit, and on the next slide, I'll take you through a few words of our mission, which essentially is addressing different audiences, four audiences altogether. So with respect to the common interest of our members, we'll be providing services of adequacy, of representation, and of networking for themselves. Our mission with respect to ICANN is, of course, to represent the common interests of our members. We will seek to be recognized as an essential stakeholder by ICANN, and we will be engaging in dialogue and advocacy with ICANN to champion policies that enhance trust for internet users. On the next slide, we mention the next two audiences. The first one being yourselves and others with respect to governments and public bodies. Again, to represent the common interests of our members, we would like to be recognized by yourselves and others as a key interlocutor, someone who we might like to see and speak to again about some of our common needs. And we believe that one of the main areas of dialogue that we'd want to have with you is to explain how brand registries aid in enhancing consumer protection and creating a thriving digital economy. And the fourth audience is more generally to users, and perhaps more challenging to address initially, but we thought that it was quite right to include them. And essentially, it's all about improving the understanding of the role of brand registries within the universe of top-level domain names. In other words, how we are different, how we may be islands of trust within the whole universe of top-level domain names, that we are delivering consumer protection in e-commerce and in those branded spaces. So that covers our vision and our mission with those four audiences and moves us on to the next section on the next slide. And we just thought it might be helpful to tease out a few of the things that makes us different to other registries, hence why we are coming together, and to explain to you some of the things that we'll be asking about of ICANN now during this application process, what we may be asking of ICANN in the future, because we are setting up as an organization long-term to go way beyond the application process, and talk a little bit about who else we'll be talking with. So, on the next slide, just looking at values, as you saw from the vision statement, our key value is an ethos of trust. And essentially, though, if you look at the descriptions and the applications of the sort of companies and organizations who make up what we're doing, and we go beyond companies also to not-for-profits and public interest companies, we are making innovative offers of an existing trusted business that we believe will enhance the digital economy and in so doing be a contribution to job creation and therefore also a contribution to wealth creation. So that, I think, is our key brief description of values. And on the next slide is a somewhat lengthy list of what our immediate job is in terms of talking to ICANN. And it all really focuses around the registry agreement. That list about compliance, about transition of a TLD upon termination, issues to do with arbitration of liability and indemnification, about change of control, amendment procedure, applicable laws, the whole host of registrant protection measures, such as letter of credit, trademark clearing, uniform rapid suspension, sunrise, IP claims and UDRP, use of registries and public interest commitments. All of those have a unique relationship to the very nature of brand registries because those registries are not selling at the second level to the general public. And so registrant protection measures are not necessary where there is no registrant protection. And having come up with that rather long list of problems for ICANN, on the next slide is our current solution for ICANN, in which we are saying on the following slide that... Can I have the next slide, please? The easy way forward to make the existing registry agreement relevant for that one-third of applications is to go through those elements of it that are not fit for purpose for brand registries and to create a specific template registry agreement. That was a request we made during public comments. We've seen some support of that from different parties and different organizations subsequently. And that is the nature of the immediate dialogue we're having with ICANN this week to say it would be so much easier to have a specific template that works more or less for brand registries, use that as your starting point for the individual negotiations, and rather than having 300 difficult negotiations from a fundamental point of difference, you'll have 300 relatively easy negotiations from a fundamental point of agreement. So we believe that's the best way forward. And we may talk a little bit about that later on. And advancing to the next slide is the third point, which is what we will be doing after delegation. So we are planning on existing as an organization in the long term. I'll talk a little about that in a second. And essentially, the advocacy and engagement with ICANN after delegation will focus around four points. Of course, to be the voice of brand registries, to be able to advise on ICANN policy developments that will affect our members. So acting indeed as an association, doing the work collectively where there was a common interest, and therefore adding to efficiency and reducing cost. We'll be engaging directly in response to requests for comments on relevant ICANN policy and on the common implications of the evolving registry models to our members. So we recognize that nothing in this world is static, and that may well be a fruitful area of dialogue in the future. So, moving on to the next slide, advocacy to governments and public bodies, a little bit as you saw earlier under our mission statement, to improve the understanding of what we're about, our objectives, and where relevant, to solicit your support in pursuit of these objectives. So do feel free, indeed, if you think the concept we're talking about earlier of a registry agreement specific to these types of registries is a good idea, then please ask those questions if I can when you talk to them this week. Moving on to the next section, a little bit about structure. In order to have a legal identity, our first move, which will probably be, we hope, shortly after Beijing, will be forming an independent not-for-profit organization. It will be a not-for-profit organization operating on, for the benefit of its members, like a typical trade association, and therefore we'll have a board of directors. We will receive fees from our members to allow us to employ staff, and we're looking to register that in a country that welcomes international NPOs, and that will be part of the internal discussions that we'll be having this week to make more precise those general points about structure and who we will be. And then moving on to the following slide, that will then give us some options in terms of the nature of our dialogue with ICANN. Firstly, we could remain just a trade association, a lobby from the outside, or we could become a new constituency. And indeed, it is likely that it will be preferred to be a new constituency. We can also look at future opportunities, or indeed of maybe a new stakeholder group in a new ICANN. So I'll say a couple more words about that in a second. But just following up from the second point there, a new constituency, on the next slide, you may see a... I think we've just gone back, haven't we? I beg your pardon, no, sorry, lobbying from outside. Yes, just go forward to the next slide. One of the problems about lobbying from outside is indeed there'll be no ICANN support in terms of financial and the services that ICANN can offer. And there may also be some uncertainty within ICANN about a new way of doing things. So our feeling at the moment is probably the second option that you saw on that earlier slide of forming a new constituency. And moving on to the next slide, you'll see, I hope, a chart that is familiar to you of the whole of the ICANN multi-stakeholder model. And towards the bottom left in green there is the GNSO, very familiar to you. And on the next slide, we see that in its current makeup of the council, forming the contracted party house, the non-contracted party house, with the various stakeholder groups beneath. And the likely fit, of course, for us would be naturally in the registry stakeholder group. And moving on to the next slide, that is something that is possible now. The ICANN process allows us to apply now. They have various rules which we've looked at and think there will be no problem in complying with. And we're also going to be talking with ICANN about some of those formalities of the process this week. And that, I think, concludes what I'm saying for the moment. I'm going to hand over to my colleague, J. Scott Evans from Yahoo, one of our founder members, who's going to talk a little bit about some of those issues that we've noted. Thank you.
If I could have the next slide, please. So the issues that we feel are relevant as a brand registry group is that ICANN's current model is based on one business model that exists to date, and that is a registry model whereby they sell domain names to the consuming public through registrars in a contractual-based way. A dot brand registry that is closed and owned and used for the benefit of an existing business is a very different business model than has been seen in this environment since ICANN's inception in 1998, 1999. And for that very reason, the registry agreement that is the template that is within the applicant guidebook is very much designed for an open registry that sells domain names to the consuming public. It is not designed for a model where all the domains on the second level are owned by the very entity that is using in furtherance of another business that is not in the business of selling domains. And it is very important because ICANN, its very self, in this body and to the press, and to brand owners has said one of the solutions for some of the massive fraud and cyber squatting that occurs that affects brand owners and consumers most importantly is that brand owners could create a trustful, safe environment under their own brand for their consumers and have the ability to control that environment and by doing so eliminate some of the bad actors and bad actions that we see that take place in the registries that exist in the model today. So we need a new registry agreement, and we need a group that can come into that and use the efficacy and the efficiencies and offer a helping hand to ICANN to sit down and have a dialogue about those issues. Fadi likes to tell a story many times that we have heard since he's joined us about a friend of his who owned a home, a very expensive home in California, as most homes are, that had a very small leaking pipe under the home. And they never fixed that small leak in the home and then eventually had to do some tremendous repairs to the entire structure based on having ignored a leak, a very small leak that existed in the piping under the home. And we see that this change in market and the change in relevance of where we sit within the structure as that leak. We've identified that leak, and what we want to do through a brand registry group is offer ICANN the ability to work with us to use a funneling mechanism to handle a majority of issues that face like-minded registries within this business model to plug that leak and offer our expertise to make it more efficient and effective. We also are concerned that as currently constructed, the rules of the registry stakeholder group are based on volume. And that's how votes are done. And brand registry groups are never going to be able to own a volume of names that would give them any sense to have their issues bubble to the top within an organization and be discussed with a level of seriousness because they're a very different business model and they would always fall to the bottom. And that's a concern. That is a concern for businesses where this is an ancillary tag on to a business that is already operating. This is just another avenue to secure a solid brand and trust and a safe environment for our consumers. And the TLD world is changing. And we were told, as I'm sure the GAC was told, and we were told in the GNSO, that the improvements that we went through in 2008, 2009, and were eventually agreed upon in 2011 were put into place with the idea that self-forming entities would identify themselves and then they would be form on their own in a sort of holistic, organic way. And once they did that, they would then be placed into this system. And we believe that because the TLD world is changing with this business model, this is an absolute prime opportunity to put that hypothesis and that promise to the test. And we think this is an excellent opportunity to do so. Next slide, please. So what are our issues with the registry agreement that is currently in the applicant guidebook? Well, the agreement has many obligations for registrant protections that aren't relevant when the owner of the registry is the only registrant. So there are a lot of issues there that are superfluous to this business model, and there are obligations that are there. Another thing you have to realize is many of these businesses that are coming into this fora have established, some of them for hundreds of years, business practices, and they have procurement departments and contract departments, and this agreement is going to have to go through those departments for approval, and it will be very difficult for ICANN to have 300 to 600 discussions about that when we can sit down in a room and speak for that and handle probably 75% to 80% of the issues in an efficient way. Now, there's always going to be a 20% variant where there will have to be nuances in some of the individual discussions, but we think a template that takes care of some of these issues would be good to eliminate some of the lag time. Failure protection is not relevant when there are no victims of failure. If, for instance, .Yahoo decides that they want to close a portion of their business, we've decided we don't want to have Yahoo Finance anymore. that's our business choice, and we will handle the failure or whatever happens with regards to our consumer base on our own. That is a choice that we make. We are not taking away a home-based business, as you might in .com, by closing down .com. We are the owner of all the second-level domains, and so therefore the only harm is for us to choose. And that reputational harm that we might face is one that we would have to deal with, as any business does, as it ebbs and flows with commerce and decisions based on the relevant markets at the time. Compliance audits that are mandated in the open TLD registry may, based on where a brand is located in headquarters, have huge privacy implications, and that can cause great squeamishness with corporate entities that want to make sure that they are in compliance with the local jurisdictional laws for their particular jurisdiction, and we need to be very cognizant and sensitive to that. Next slide, please. The rules, as I mentioned before, of the registry stakeholder group is that registry stakeholder group, as currently designed, all of the voting is weighted based on your second level registrations. And the majority, if not all, of dot brands will have a very small number of second level domains because of the very structure of that business model. The .com registry model is no longer relevant to these new registries, and that needs to be acknowledged, and these registries need to have a voice in the system. Next slide, please. So the world is changing. I think we all know this. I think this is one of the innovative ideas that ICANN was created to present to the world, is a changing internet landscape and environment, one filled with competition and different business models and new and innovative ideas. So post-delegation of the 1900 new GTLDs, there will be an entirely new GNSO structure that needs to come into place to handle the particular changes that have happened in the environment based on the experiment that we are embarking upon. And we need to be prepared to that. With one-third of brand TLDs being part of this mix, that old model is going to be challenged and needs to be changed. We need to be able to do that. And we need to show our innovative spirit by allowing groups like this to form and come in and bring a new and varied voice for consumers to the table. Learning curve for new back-end registries is something that's been happening. Many of the brand registries will be run by current existing models, but it will be a different contractual relationship than we've seen in this model that exists today, because they will be servicing clients rather than actually providing their own services to the consumer, which is more of a B2B relationship. It will be an interesting dynamic that we see coming into play. And all of this is, we see that there needs to be structural changes to recognize the new ICANN stakeholders, and that this takes time. But this, as we are here, we are taking the first steps, we believe, to step into the brave new world of structure and bring brave new voices into the debate. Next slide, please. So we thank you so very much for taking the time to listen to us. I hope, given that there are many of you here that are not native English speakers, I have not spoken too fast, or that my southern accent hasn't have you questioning for what I've been trying to put forth, or Philip. But we appreciate very much the time, and we now would ask you to ask us any questions that you may have on our presentation today.
Many thanks to you both for that presentation. That was very interesting, and I think has given us good food for thought about some of the changes that are coming and what it really means to be a brand registry rather than other kinds of registries. So I see Switzerland, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for this interesting presentation. And it is funny, it reminds me of some discussions that we had in the GAC back in 2009 and 2010, where you can read it in the communiques of Seoul and Nairobi, where we asked the board, or advised the board, to explore track differentiation between categories of new GTLDs. Sorry, I have to say that. It's too funny. And people like Bertrand de la Chapelle, when he was still a GAC representative, and I drafted non-papers about categories like brand TLDs and generic TLDs, and incited a cross-community working group to deal with that. And the majority of the community then decided that a one-size-fits-all solution would have the highest chance in moving on the fastest possible. That might not have been wrong, but now I think we see that we definitely have different categories with different uses, and that we need appropriate mechanisms to actually allow the purposes for what they are meant. So I think in terms of substance, I think we all agree, and now we have to find the best solutions for this situation. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And just a short response. I think it was interesting in the outreach exercise that I've been doing over the last few weeks, inviting everybody that we felt was a potential member to join. The variety of those was interesting indeed. And one of the early responses we had was from what in the past we've categorized as a geographic type TLD or a city TLD, and in this case it was the Canton of Zurich, who essentially qualify for the same type of values that commercial companies are setting up, and indeed some of the other organizations that have recently expressed interest include the public interest broadcaster from the United Kingdom, the BBC. I think you're quite right when you say that the categorization of TLDs is a difficult thing to do. But we think that perhaps the categorization we're doing is one based on values, and that may be the simpler one.
I agree, and I would say that, you know, many of these dot brands, you must remember, we're bringing new voices in from C-suites who don't follow these issues as closely. And what they have to feel, the executives in company, I'm sorry to use an American idiom, the executives in many companies do not follow these issues. They've relied on those who have attended these meetings to do so. And now when they're asking us, well, where's our voice? If we're going to participate and we're going to, you know, bring all the money to build a new Web 4.0, we need to make sure that we're going to have a voice here in the process. And this is where we believe self-forming is identifying and helping. That what we're trying to do is offer help to bring new voices in so that we can become efficient with ICANN and identifying issues and resolving those in an efficient and very good way for our community, all of us, but especially our community and for consumers.
Thank you. I have UK and the Netherlands.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Even as a native speaker, I learn something new every day. C-suite. I'll have to look up what that is. I'm not sure. I haven't come across that before. Is that a Southern American term? Anyway, okay. I just wanted to sort of reflect on the internationalization agenda of ICANN. And the GAC now is like 140 members. And Fadi is advancing well the internationalization agenda, and I wonder what the brands can bring to that. And well, first of all, I'd be interested to know how many non-European and non-North American members you've currently got, and whether your outreach is extending to the developing world, and in particular, sort of in anticipation of perhaps further rounds where we might see a lot more companies from developing countries seize the opportunity of new top-level domains to advance their contributions and engagement in the global digital economy. And I was very interested to hear that as one of your mission objectives. That's my question, really. How do you see the brands, perhaps through your association or constituency or however it's ultimately constituted, contributing to the internationalization of ICANN and its development of the domain name system. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, for that. I think there were two responses. I mean, one, of course, the outreach we're doing is limited to those who are the applicants, but that was one third, and that was quite a diverse lot. The head offices of probably the majority of that potential are going to be North American or European based, by the nature of those who chose to apply. Our outreach, of course, is global, and indeed we already have interest from brands in this country, in China, and indeed for a number of our existing North American or European brands. Some of them have also, of course, applied for their name, their brand, as an IDN. And therefore they are also included. But the second response, of course, is that the very nature of some of these organizations, regardless of their head office, is that they're global brands. They are all over the world already. They are multinationals trading globally. So diversity is built into their current DNA, and therefore their value set and the innovation that they're offering and everything else is built into their DNA. So to some extent, the origin of the applying entity, which in some cases is a head office and in some cases is a special company that was set up for the purposes of the application, is largely irrelevant. It's the values of the organizations who are joining us, which are typically global and diverse.
Mark, I would echo that, and I would say that, you know, in the world of the internet today, the move is localization. So all large companies are thinking of themselves as being a part of the local market, and they are doing that. So by that, the large multinational nature that Philip spoke of is trying to reach into local markets and bring that. I mean, we're Yahoo Japan. We're, you know, local Yahoo Mexico, Yahoo Brazil. We're localized, so there's that. But also the very nature of brands, we already have an infrastructure that is very international. We have the International Trademark Association, which is a large brand organization of over 5,600 brands from around the world. And we will use that network to reach out and bring brands in that are current applicants and to encourage them to use these mechanisms to apply in other rounds and that they will have a voice. We have Marks and ECTA and FICPI and Pan-Asian and APAC groups that are already internationalized, and we will reach out through those and use those mechanisms to bring this. But we believe having this voice and this structure in process, in place, will be a very large encouragement for those voices to get involved and join and come and create a new and differing world in e-commerce.
Thank you. I have the Netherlands, then the United States.
Thank you, Heather. And also thank you for the presenters. It's interesting to see a new group forming and also to have a spokesman for this new group. And apology for being critical, but I think we are a public policy organization, and we look at the public policy and the public interest. And What I fail to see, but maybe you can explain better, what in the general, let's say, goals of the new GTLD program, what I a little bit fail to see is the contribution of brand TLDs to user choice, to competition, innovation I can see, accessing customers I can see, but what I fail to see is how brand names in a TLD structure, vertically organized, really contributes to enlarging the namespace and to access to names. Thank you.
One of the things it offers to many users, let's say, in the banking industry or the insurance industry, is a sense of trust, and that the level of trust for luxury goods, that you are actually going to a source and retrieving from the source the exact control. So you're giving a new and different universe of trust that isn't there. Because you control that universe, you can say, when you go to a .SwissBank or .HSBC, you are getting exactly what you want. Today, we don't, because of the structure of the system, have that same type of security that exists. You may go to HSBC dot something, and it may have been phished and moved, and for 24 hours, they're scamming everyone and getting their account details. With this new model, you're bringing that to the table, and I think that is very good for competition, and it allows those in certain industries to offer things to their consumers and compete effectively amongst themselves in an environment where more and more the e-commerce section of that environment is becoming ever increasingly important to even sectors that were brick and mortar probably 10 or 15 years ago.
Thank you. I have United States, then Lebanon.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to our guests for giving us this very, very interesting overview. I have a question that, apologies in advance, it may be completely stupid or inappropriate because you consider it business confidential. But I was just curious to know whether you have developed as a group a template for a revised registry agreement that you would be able and willing to sign. And if so, would you be willing to share that just to inform us?
It's an excellent question, and of course, as we're a group of businesses who are in the business of offering solutions, the answer is yes. We have started, I mean, from the moment that we submitted a comment to the public comment round on the revised registry agreement saying we thought such a template was a good idea, we felt ourselves behoven to start work on that in order to be able to produce something that was practical so that we knew what we were asking for was possible. That is work in process. We're meeting as a group later this week, and part of the purpose of that meeting is to consolidate the group agreement of around some of the points on that. And as soon as it's mature, its intent is indeed to share it widely with the world. So the answer to your second question is yes, but not quite yet.
And the reason is we're still doing outreach, and so there may be voices that need to be heard on some of these issues. So this meeting is sort of the beginning of the tide, shall we say, where we've identified issues and begun work, but we're hoping we can get divergent voices from all around the globe that are have applied to come in and provide perspectives so that when we do come back with something, we come back with a solid piece of work.
Thank you. Lebanon, please.
Thanks again. What is your assessment of the potential power that this association may have, and what would that do to the market altogether?
It's a very challenging question. Thank you for that. I think it's less about power than our ability to express the common interest that we would have as an association. So there'll be some things where we're saying altogether, this is what we want in terms of the world, our offer to the world. This is what we want in terms of a relationship with ICAM. We're asking for that. And so we hope that that common interest will be seen certainly by ICAN with respect to the number of people for whom it would be relevant. And as you saw earlier in the presentation, our potential market there is one-third of all TLD applications. So it is potentially significant for ICAN. As a group information,
I think it's perhaps too soon to comment any further on that, but I think that's probably where we're heading.
Thank you. Netherlands.
Just a very quick question. You said that you had a kind of freezing date, or let's say you only accept brands who are already registered. Eh? That's in one of your sheets. Is this then a fixed date, which it's a fixed freezing date somewhere, or is it something which rolls along? Or thank you.
No, I think what we've done is defined who would be members. So to date that potential is fixed by those who apply to ICANN in this first round. The ambition for the organization is to exist in the long term, so there will be a new potential set in future ICANN rounds who would all qualify to be members. And we would be open for members to join at any point. So they can join now while they're applicants, they can join once they've been delegated domain names. So like any association, really, so long as they still qualify for the criteria that we would agree relevant for the group.
Thank you for that. So I don't see any further requests to speak. So at this point, I will thank you both very much. Again, they were very interesting presentations that you gave, and I believe it has been quite informative for us about this particular category of brand registry. So for the GAC, don't move. We have another session now with law enforcement in attendance to discuss revisions to the registrar accreditation agreements. So we'll just get settled for that, but please don't move. Thank you.